Well, we're going to go over and teach, and I'm going to look at an area talking about the healing anointing. We're going to look into this area in the Word. And as I teach along these lines here that I want to talk about this, now you can also apply these things, principles also to other things about the anointing and how the anointing works. But we need to look into these areas because it seems that people really get confused about stuff. Lots of times, you know, it's just like in the areas, if you think about it, God commissioned the church. In the book of, in Mark the 16th chapter, the church was commissioned to lay hands on the sick and they would recover. Now that was a commissioning to the church. It was not a commissioning to the apostles. It was a commissioning to the church. Because if you read it, he said to the apostles, you go preach the gospel, these signs will follow follow those who believe. What the gospel you preach, they're going to lay hands on the sick and they're going to recover. See, I see people say, well, that was for them back then. Well, if it was for them back then the entire New Testament was for them back then and it's not for us. He said, the people who would believe the gospel, I'm one of them, we would lay hands on the sick and they would recover. Now, over time, I've watched, you know, with people, you know, sometimes, and especially dealing in the areas when we're going to be talking about the healing anointing, people have the, you know, sometimes we lay hands, I've laid hands on people, sometimes people feel the anointing of God, sometimes they don't. They don't feel the anointing. When we lay hands on people, even when people feel the anointing, we have things where people, you know, they'll say hands were laid on me and boy, I felt the power of God on me. But months later, there's absolutely no change at all. They have no change at all in the areas of healing. And what we want to begin to look at here is the fact of, a lot of times people get focused on one side of a thing. And I've watched people already, and they're so focused on their faith, they're trying to do God's part. You know, they're trying to carry everything over. Then people get on the other side, and they're not really walking by faith, and they're trying to get God to do everything. And so they're never really hooking up. And we want to look at some things because you need to understand this, that just like anything else, there's laws that the Bible has that you have to follow. Do you know there's laws that for salvation, how to be saved? There's laws on how to do it. This is why many people who go to churches and go and make confessions of some sort or other never get saved because they don't follow the laws that are established by God in the Word. Now, if we went over to Romans 10, 9, and 10, it tells you what to do to be saved. You're supposed to believe that, you know, confess Jesus as Lord, believe that God raised him from the dead. Yet most Christian churches that talk about believing being born again, they tell people you're supposed to ask Jesus to come into your heart. The Bible don't tell you to do that. That's men's ideas. Jesus spoke to Kenneth Hagin and told him, he said, in the church world, there's very few births. He said, there's a lot of conversions, but very few births. Jesus said that. People didn't get born again in a lot of things as many people born again as you think they are. There's a lot of people converted to Christianity. They liked, you know, it's pretty nice stuff. It's nice. But they've never come to new birth. That's why we have some messed up today. Because churches are filled with people not born again, ministers not born again. They don't follow the Bible. Jesus Christ told Kenneth Hagin and gave him a prayer to pray to be saved. And that prayer is quoting things from Scripture. The things that you have to believe to be saved. See, when you leave the Word, religion has a lot of good things. People had good intentions, but good intentions don't necessarily do anything good. How many of you have had good intentions and things and you just messed stuff up like crazy? Did you ever have that happen? Well, how far did your good intentions go? Nowhere. And see, this is why, this is what I love about the Word of God. I love about it. Most people don't. I love the fact that the Bible lays out how you do things, and if you follow it, it works every time. No one, Jesus said this, he said to Kenneth Hagin, I'm going to give you this prayer. If people believe what that prayer says and they confess that with their mouth, he said they will be saved every time. Now, he did got done telling them that most people, the prayers they were praying, they weren't getting saved. Why? Because they were praying man's prayers instead of God's prayer. They weren't confessing, believing what the Word says they were supposed to believe and what they were supposed to say, confess with their mouth. That's why I said to me, you'll go no further than your confession. You can confess anything you want about what God says, but if the Word don't agree with it, it amounts to nothing. It's your wind blowing. We need to understand that. You confess what the Word says. Confess what it says. Hallelujah. The principles laid out in the Word, you want to confess and follow. The real problem that we deal with in the church world is because people really are dealing with the area of lack of knowledge. And in the areas of healing, what it is when people have lack of knowledge, when hands are laid on them, what they're supposed to do, what they're supposed to do with the healing anointing, what am I supposed to do with it? Really, we're dealing with lack of knowledge. It isn't enough that you know God wants, that God desires to heal you, that God heals. I know there's many in Christianity over the years, and I've heard people in different churches, and they think that they're some kind of really spirit-filled giants because they believe God heals. So what? You can believe God heals and never get healed in your life. And you can, I've done funerals for many people who believe God healed. Well, they didn't get it. What good was it to believe that? It wouldn't be any good. So, you know, to run around and say, well, God heals and I can't have it. To me, that's pretty depressing, isn't it? That's pretty depressing. God heals, but I can't get it. I can't have it. Did God make a difference? Did God make salvation some hard thing to get? Well, some people must think so because they think you need to have another path to do it. Healing's exactly the same way. People keep ministering and teaching people differently than what the Word teaches to get something from God. I found this out. If you stick with the simplicity of the Word, much of it is easy to get. People complicate it by bringing in their ideas and their thoughts. Let's stay with the Word. The Word has such simple things in it and examples of the simplicity of the healing power of God that you have to really become a pretty much an idiot not to get it. And if you hook up with religion, you'll turn into an idiot. And you'll just complicate things and make things so messed up. And we deal with the fact of the lack of knowledge of the Word of God. When man doesn't understand what God says about something. What do I do with the healing power of God? These are things that we want to look at. We're going to do a bit, pretty much introduction things in today. But we're going to get into detail. We'll get as we go on into detail in these things. As I said, there's laws, just the same. There are laws that govern the healing anointing, just like there's laws that govern salvation, getting born again. The Bible tells you how to get things. That's one thing it always grabbed me with. Now you've heard me say this time and time again. When John G. Lake said, I don't want to know that God heals. I want to know how He does it. You need to understand this. You're never going to go very far in healing until you know how He does it. Boy, when John G. Lake said that, I thought, man, I want to understand what this guy knows. He knows things, and I want to find out. You know, John G. Lake, you know, he had gone the place, he was almost blind. He almost went blind. And one day he was at lunch in his office, and he told his secretary, I'll be back. And he left and went out. He said, I got to get some things straightened out here. And he left and come back just seeing just fine. Left for lunch, was gone for about 45 minutes and come back and he's seeing. Could you do that? Most people can't get over the littlest thing for months on end. Well, why? But we're dealing on, and it's not knocking, we're dealing with lack of knowledge. People don't know. People have lots of religious ideas. As we go along and teach this, I want you to throw out what you think you know. Sit right here today, there's people you haven't gotten over things for so darn long, it's because you don't know what you think you do. You don't really know. There's only certain things you know, and you think, you got, and you just keep hammering the same lack of knowledge path that ain't working. Why would you want to do that? I've learned a long time ago, when something ain't working, man, I'm not into beating dead horses. I've done that in my life. I'm not big on that. The horse is dead, let it dead. take it to the glue factory. Get rid of it. Use it for something useful. But don't sit and keep trying to ride that stupid thing. Most people are still trying to ride it, talking about believing, and they ain't got to believing yet. They haven't ever got there. I'm not knocking anybody. I'm just telling you, there's one thing I've learned over the years. I can throw things out. You need to be able to come and listen to a subject taught as if you never heard it. If you're sitting and thinking the whole time, well, I know this and I know that, and I could be saying things that are actually opposite of what you believe, but you think I'm saying what you're believing. I know all the time. I've had people over the years come to me and said, as they go, well, you know, we believe such and such, and, you know, this is what our church teaches. I've had people say this to me, say, well, where'd you get that? I don't believe that. They think that I'm preaching what they believe, what they say they believe, and we're on two different pages, and I've never said what they say I believe. Well, they get it in their mind, and they get it stuck there, and they get just stuck in that spot, and they never listen to anything else. You know, Jesus said this, you're supposed to have an ear to hear. That's your choice. That ain't Jesus' choice. You decide whether you want to listen or not. You do. So we want to listen. Be over in the area that you can be teachable. Many people are not teachable. They can only go so far with God. They won't go beyond and never rise past that point till they get to the point that they realize they don't know. You know, there's nothing embarrassing about not knowing something. There's a lot I don't know. Dear Lord, I sit down and read the Bible sometimes and I think, dear Lord, all the years of study and you think you've gotten somewhere and God will throw one scripture on you and you look at it and like say, dear God, where have I been? What planet have I been living on? But you got to stay teachable. When I see that, it always stops me and I say, well, then I don't know so much. And I'm now like Brother Hagin. Brother Hagin used to said, if I don't know, where does that leave you? So, and I think sometimes I, well, man, I need to know some stuff. I got to, you know. And I've said this a lot. Is the more you gain knowledge, I come to the place of realizing how much you don't know. Because the more you gain and know, the more questions that come up. And especially, if you're in an area and you're not having success in it, then you don't know what you need to know. You don't know. Most people say, well, I'm just believing God. Well, if you've been believing God and it isn't working at all, well, then you need to come to the place, say, I must believe in what I'm thinking. I can't be believing God. Believing God works. Believing God will work. And so get over that. Don't be afraid to stop and say, I don't know. See, I must not know what's going on. I don't know how many times I've done that. Say, well, Lord, you know, I've been dealing with this, so I must not know. I need some help here. There's something I'm not getting. There's something I don't understand. And one of these things that I will say to you, and you need to learn to do this, is talking with God. There are things, and I've said this before, and I'm going to say it again. There's things that God will not talk to you about till you talk to Him about it. You may be in a position you don't know some things, and things ain't working. Until you ask Him questions, He may not answer you. I can tell you from experience, I've stood in things for long periods of time wondering why, but I had never talked to God specifically about. Just go to the Lord and say, Lord, what is going on in this area? I've been, and I just don't see, I'm not hooking up. What's wrong? Till I have done that, He has said nothing. God don't want you to be, you walk around and He reads your mind and comes and tells you things. You're supposed to have a relationship with Him. Talk to Him. People talk about a personal relationship. Most Christians never have a personal relationship. They think God just reads their mind and will just figure things out and tell them what they want to know. It's like Mike said, you know, if you ain't doing anything, don't expect He probably won't show up and talk to you. If you ain't doing, you're doing nothing. He blesses the labor of your hand. You got to be doing something. Everybody's asking to be blessed and people ain't doing nothing, but they're asking to be blessed. Bless me, God, while I don't do nothing. No, you put your labor to your hand and God will bless you. And I just want to, you know, get you over that thing. Too many people have a mental Christianity. They're thinking right things and stuff, but they're never talking it or saying it. They're never talking to God about it. They just have the idea because I think it, then God will just somehow respond. He doesn't. The Bible says, ask and you shall receive. It don't say think and you shall receive. It says ask. Your voice The only reason you need to be in a body in this earth is so you can talk. Because voice is what brings things to pass here. Thought does not. Thought don't bring anything to pass. The spirit realm is brought to pass by voice. That's why our nation's in the mess it's in, is because of all the garbage talked. It isn't by the garbage thought. It's by all the garbage talked. It's what's talked. That's why the devil wants to control media. That's why he wants to control voice. And the church said, Lucifer, you can use my mouth. Just tell me, I'll curse myself. I'll say bad things. I'll make myself sick. Go ahead. I'll say it. What do you want me to say? You see, we're supposed to give God our voice. But if you need to know something, ask God. Go directly. Speak to Him. Don't sit around and think about problems. Thinking about problems don't get you nowhere. Talk to God about them. It's amazing how many times God has spoken to me over things that I've thought about for a long time, but I finally used my voice and spoke to Him about the situation. In no time, He talked to me, gave me a revelation of what to do, changed the problem, and then I walk around for about 5 weeks saying, you idiot, you've let this thing go on, and you could have straightened it out a long time ago. You know what you're supposed to do. Prayer is not thought. Prayer is not thought. There's no such thing as thought prayer ever in the Bible. It's no place in it. Thinking ain't praying. Thinking ain't saying. Have happy thoughts. I would much rather have happy words on my mouth, bringing happy to pass. If you ain't going to speak those happy thoughts, after a while, you probably won't have happy thoughts. They'll be gone. Hallelujah. It's amazing how your mouth sets your course. Your thoughts don't set your course. Your mouth does. I can get evil thoughts to come to me, and I can change those evil thoughts instantly by speaking right things. Your voice is powerful to bring things to pass. Your voice is powerful. Wrong thoughts come, and what do? You begin to speak the right things. You can bring thoughts to pass. I refuse. That is not me. I will not think that. I won't have that evil thought. I'm not going to allow that to dominate me and rule me. I put them on my voice. People think Ed talks to himself. He does. I need to talk to me. Hallelujah. It's what keeps me going. All these people sitting around say, I don't talk to myself. Yeah, well, the devil will get a hold of you probably more often. So, hallelujah. What we want to look at here in our teaching is, because we want to look in the areas of the healing, how to obtain the healing power of God and what to do once you get it. How do you obtain it? And then what do you do when you get it? We're going to go over to, and I'm going to use scripture here, and I'm not going to give you some new revelation. I'm going to give you things that you already know that maybe you don't do. Or, you know, we get, and here's one thing, I'm really clear your idea of thinking on how you think about things. I was born and raised in righteousness by works. And that's where most people come. It's a righteousness by, well, we need to understand there's a God side to things and there's a man side. And what we want to look at is what's our side to do and then what's God's side. People keep getting them mixed up. The church has always mixed it up with trying to do God's side and God doing our side, or, you know, or us just trying to do it all or trying to make it happen. And so really, if you learn how it works, there's one thing, you'll have a lot of peace. You'll have a lot of rest in life if you learn how to let God do His part. Now, in Luke, the 5th chapter, I want to go over there to a very familiar scripture. There was a paralyzed man here being brought to Jesus. We're going to look at this here. Hallelujah. And in verse 17, it says, now it happened on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by, who had come out of every town of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Now we see this. It says concerning these were Pharisees, teachers of the law, that come out of all these towns. The power of the Lord was present to heal them. And as you go on, we're going to bring this area of scripture up more than once in our teaching. But you find this, none of them got healed, but the power of the Lord was present to heal them. So this means people were not connecting with the power of God. They weren't connecting with it. Now let's just go on and look. It says, and behold, men brought on a bed a man who was paralyzed, whom they sought to bring in and lay before him. And when they could not find how they might bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the housetop, let him down with his bed through the tiling in the midst before Jesus. When he saw their faith, he said to him, man, your sins are forgiven you. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, who is this who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sin but God alone? But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered and said to them, why are you reasoning in your hearts? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven you, or say, rise up and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sin, he said to the man who was paralyzed, I say to you, rise, take up your bed, and go to your house. Immediately he rose up before them, took up what he had been laying on, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And here is most, this verse clarifies most of the church world today. And they were all amazed and they glorified God and were filled with fear, saying, we have seen strange things today. For much of the church world, it's a strange thing to see at work. It's a strange thing to see at work. It's like the miraculous startles the church. The miraculous is supposed to be the norm for the church. I am surprised that things don't happen more. That bothers me. That bothers me. The church today would just be excited to have something happen once in a while. It bothers me. I know there's a real problem that people don't know what the Bible teaches because things don't happen. Because it's the norm that it should. Look at Jesus' ministry. It was normal for people to get healed, yet they're startled. Here we find out the power of God is present to heal, but only one person gets healed. It's present to heal everybody. Only one person gets it. Do you ever think of all the people, the hundreds of thousands of men between the ages of 20 and 50 years old that were in the army of Israel, and only two men got to go into the promised land out of the whole bunch? There's only two that walked in faith with God, responded to God. I've learned this over the years. The way of the kingdom is a narrow way and few find it. Few find it. Most people walk on a broad path. They get born again, but they stay on a broad path. They keep following mostly what the world says. They're on this side of the road, then they're over on this side of the road, and they're walking. But I'm going to tell you, there's a kingdom walk. I tell you, a lot of Christians ain't going to have a kingdom walk till they get into heaven. They're never going to know is it'll be have a kingdom. You can have a kingdom walk in this earth. Right here. And I want to tell you what, just as the new birth is miraculous, to live in the kingdom is just as miraculous. You need the supernatural to be able to live out this life and be able to walk in it. We need it. It's something that we shouldn't have. We shouldn't be surprised that God would wake somebody up at night and give them some information. I would be totally shocked that God didn't do that for me. I mean, I could tell you the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times that I've been waking up in the nighttime that God wanted to talk to me. To me, I believe that should be more toward the norm. I expect one of the things that I've known that when I go to bed and I go to sleep, my outer man gets quiet. My inner man is loud. Most people don't have a loud inner man because they've never confessed they have. They let the outer man just govern over, and I'm going to sleep and my body needs rest. Spirit, shut up, be quiet while I... My spirit's loud. My spirit can awaken me. Every morning I get up. I get up at 5:30 in the morning. Like this morning, I just go to bed. I say, I'm going to wake up at 5:30 in the morning. And at 5:23 this morning, I looked at the clock, and oh, it's time to get up out of bed. My spirit is loud. It can wake me up. I say it from my spirit. I have what I say. I believe it in my heart that I say I'm going to wake up at a certain time, and I wake up at that time. I say it with my mouth. Now, I learned that as a baby Christian from Kenneth Hagin. Kenneth Hagin lived in his grandfather's house, and there was no clocks in their house. They didn't have no clocks. And you didn't set alarms to get up. And they got up at a certain time, and they said they woke up at a certain time every day. And he said, I learned not to be dependent on a clock to wake up. I learned to do that. He said, you can set yourself to do that. Well, I thought, I'm going to start to set myself to do that. I'm going to start to set myself. So I started the thing. I'd say, I'm going to wake up at such and such a time. You know, and then some of the hit and miss over time. But the more I understood how to operate out of my spirit, I can tell myself when I want to wake up, and I will wake up at that time. So you got to learn to use your spirit. If you don't use your spirit has a very quiet voice, may not be able to get in touch with you. See, my spirit can get, even when there's a lot of confusion going on and stuff happening on the outside, my inner man, I can still hear it. Because I let him have a voice. People don't. People don't let their own spirit have a voice. They don't train it to give it a voice. And I don't know about you, I need it. I ain't bright enough to take care of me. I'm not that bright. I need the Holy Spirit. My own human spirit needs to be able, my own human spirit, which has the nature of God, is, has information that Ed's brain ain't got. There's things that are going on out there that human knowledge ain't going to ever work out or fix for you. Ever. You know, I had a woman years ago tell me about, you know, she had MS and she was there. Well, I'm believing God that they're going to come up with a cure for it in the natural. Well, they did her funeral. It didn't. She believed God all she wants. I said, why would you want to go that way? I said, Jesus already healed you. By his stripes you were healed. Why would you wait till man got something when God already got something? Well, I believe God wants to work through the doctor. Well, I said, well, we'll see what happens. Let's see if it works. I'm going to see if your faith will do that. Well, it didn't. They did her funeral. My God, why would you want... No, I don't want it God's way. I could get it right away. Let's wait to see it till they discover a medication with 400 side effects that are worse than the disease. No. Thank God for what they can do, but I'll tell you what. A lot of nonsense going on out there. What we want you to see, though, I want you to see here. We know this in this instant that things going on here. The healing power of God is available. It's there. The anointing of God, the power of God to heal is there. Now, there was an obstacle to that power for these guys. They wanted to come in contact with it. The house is filled. Now, look at this. This house is filled with people. And why would the scripture says that the power of God was present to heal them if none of them were sick? They were sick. They needed healing. Yet they're in the house. There's no healing going on. Isn't that amazing? So there's these guys come along. Now these guys come along and they have they're carrying this guy on a stretcher. They want to get in there to get to hook up with that healing power. That's what they want to do. They want to hook. So the regular avenues are gone. They can't get in. So what do? They make a way to get there. They go up, remove the tiling off the roof, and drop the guy down so the guy can get his healing. In other words, you're going to find this. There's always obstacles to keep you away from the healing power of God. There's obstacles. And this one thing, you got to find out what obstacles you might have. Different people have different. Our biggest obstacle, most people, is the lack of knowledge. These men believed that if they got this person to that power would heal him. No, these guys are in faith. We know that they were in faith about it. The fact of what they did. They went off. And what would you think? Somebody tore the roof off this church right now and somebody started to drop somebody down in here. Sure sound like they would have to be believing something. Now, I've watched this over the years. I have tried to get people to do things concerning healing and I can't get them to do it because obstacles are things they don't want to face. They want healed if they don't have to do anything. They want healed as long as they don't have to. You know, I've had over the years, I've had people where I've told them where when Kenneth Hagin was still here and they used to have the healing school at Rhema, I told people who are dealing with serious problems, you need to go out there for a couple weeks. Go out there. attend healing school every day. You can go free. It was free. You go and you could attend healing school every day. You go sit in healing school. They've had more people who were healed, delivered, cancer, you name it, whatever else, going and sitting there. I said, go take at least 2 weeks. Go sit down, get away from everything else. Sit down and listen. No, they wouldn't. So I did their funeral. Oh, well, I'm just going to believe God. And that, what the whole thing was is, well, that takes a lot to do. I had one person, actually, I tried to talk them into doing it. They went as far as went to California for a doctor to try to some kind of oxygen treatments. And then they went on another trip to a thing and were doing shark cartilage. And then they did their funeral. And I knew I was going to do their funeral. I knew I was. But they wouldn't go sit down and listen to the Word of God. Still called faith people. Well, take 2 weeks and go, well, you go 5 weeks for the doctor. But see, you get over. People want something from God without hooking up with God according to the Word. They're going to do it. They think it's too much of an obstacle. They thought that going there for 2 weeks and sitting down under this Word and have somebody minister to them in the areas of healing, they thought that was an obstacle that was too great. Would it have been worth living? See, I found over the years with lots of people, the whole thing of it is, they want everything to come simple. They want everything, you know. My words, people get a hangnail, won't go to church and get it prayed for, you know, because, you know, I got to go to the doctor and get this taken care of. They can't even believe in God to heal them a hangnail, you know. Littlest things, and they won't come to church, but they'll go sit in a doctor's office. It's too hard to sit in church, but it's easy to sit in a doctor's office. It's really easy. That's easy to do. See, people get obstacles. And they have obstacles that are in their way to getting to God. The healing. You want to get to the healing power. They're always going to be. Especially as in the areas of lack of knowledge. If people have lack of knowledge of how it works, they stay away from the healing power and don't realize that they're even doing it. They don't see themselves as doing it. You do what you can do. You know, I always think about the Reinhard Bonnke. There's a woman had her husband. He was a minister. Died in a car accident. And she decided she wanted her husband raised from the dead. I forget it was how many days. It was like something 6 or 8 days till they got the body to Reinhard Bonnke. It stinketh. And they wanted to get it to one of Reinhard Bonnke's meetings. His wife kept his body. They found out that Reinhard Bonnke was having a meeting somewhere in Africa, someplace. They were in Africa, and he did. And they hauled that body, and they took it, and he was in a building, in a church building that had two stories. The upstairs was the main auditorium, and then downstairs. And they came in, and they put him in the downstairs. He said, "We want to be in here." While Reinhard Bonnke was preaching, the man came back to life. Had been dead like 6 or 8 days. Came back to life. See, there was all kind of obstacles, I bet, for her, wasn't there? See, most people, I would have gotten 99% of faith people would have been telling her she's crazy. Why? Because they ain't, obstacle comes, I go home. Anything that causes me a little bit of grief or problem, or I might look crazy, I'm going home. No, I don't want people to think I'm strange. I'm strange. I want everybody to know it. I'm going to do it different. I want people to know it. I'm not going to follow. I'm not going to follow the rules of man. I'm going to follow the rules of God. So we have here. So, you know, they couldn't get through a door, so they made a way to go there. In other words, the obstacles. These obstacles were there. In verse 17 we had read where the healing power was there. The healing power of God was there. No one is being healed, but they know that if we can get this man to that healing power, our faith in him, that faith and that healing power are going to work. And I want you to understand this, because the power of God was present for healing. This man's healing was a result of two things: faith and the healing power of God. You have to have the both. Faith and the healing power of God. They must both be present. They have to both be present if you're going to get to work. This combination never knows failure. Never. The combination of faith and the healing power never knows failure. Never. Nobody has ever had faith to be healed and hooked up with the Word says about how you hook up with the healing power of God. It's never happened that they didn't get healed. That has never taken place. That has never happened. In Jesus' ministry, anybody who came in contact by faith of the healing power of God was healed. Jesus never told anyone, no, it's not God's will to heal you. No, it's not. He never told anybody that. He never told one person that it was God's will for them to be sick because he's trying to teach them something. Never once did he do that. If that, any of that is true, then Jesus Christ is the biggest fraud and liar in the face of the earth because he didn't teach people the truth while he was on the earth. No, it's men in the earth today preach lies. Let God be true and every man a liar. Anybody preaches different what I'm saying right now is a liar. That's pretty bold, but I want you to understand this. You'll never learn to walk in healing if you start thinking like I'm thinking about this. Nice people, good Christian people, and they're lying on God. But what it is, they have lack of knowledge and they walk around and preaching experiences of people rather than the Word of God. The experiences of people. My words. I've had a lot of experiences in my life, and a lot of them I wish I'd have never had. There's one thing, the Word of God works. You must be convinced that if I get the revelation of what the Word says, and I do it, God will honor His Word. He has to. If God doesn't honor His Word, what basis do you have of faith in Him? What is your basis? If He won't do what He says He will do, what basis do you have any confidence in Him? How, we are singing about Him today, being faithful. How faithful and don't keep His Word? Faithful? All I was ever raised with was hearing people talking about the faithfulness of God. The only thing He ever told me His faithful to do was kill you and cause you trouble. That's what He was always faithful to do. Any bad thing coming, God did it. And that was the faithfulness of God. It's like I said, I don't want none of that. I wish you'd get a little more unfaithful. His faithfulness. Faithfulness is proved by performance. Not just words, but by performance. And God wants you, if we get in line with the Word of God and we hook up with it, it's just like these ones did. Here. There was something that stood between their faith and the power of God, and they did whatever they needed to do to get past that to get to the power of God. And so sometimes people do from a physical standpoint, there's things that people ought to be doing and are not doing. But most of the time with most people, it is a lack of knowledge. People don't know what to do. When they get, they think they do. People talk about believing God, but really, they don't. They're still, you know, it's the whole idea. I've watched over the years of people, they're trying to get God to heal them. I've heard in big name faith ministers, well, you just need to keep confessing and need to keep confessing. Hold it, hold it. That is not true. You just need to keep confessing. How many times you confess ain't got a thing to do? Jesus said, if you say on this mountain, be removed and be cast in the sea and doubt not in your heart, but believe those words you'll say, you're going to have what you say. He didn't say if you say it 497 times. See, we need to get by this. It's about believing something and saying it. The only reason that I continue to confess what I believe is because that's for my benefit. It ain't for God. It's to keep me on the path that I don't go around saying something else stupid. It has nothing to do with God from the standpoint and getting God to do His part. He is not even interested. Once you have spoken from your heart without any doubt, it is already in motion. Whatever thing you desire when you pray, believe you receive it and you will have it. In other words, I will have it. It's coming to me. Once I have operated in faith, it is already mine, belongs to me, and it will show up. That's the time that it started. Me just keep trying to confess and keep trying. That don't bring it to me. It's already, God's already said yes. And see, we get in all this work stuff. It's nothing but works. Confession is for my benefit once I operate in faith for not God's. Most people are doing this. They're making confession trying to believe. They haven't got to the point where they don't doubt anymore in their heart. They got doubts, and they're saying stuff, trying to bring it to pass, and they're making confessions, trying to get themselves to believe it. There is that part where we call, we talk about meditation, where you meditate on the word and you confess the word to yourself till it gets in you. And then when you're ready, see, most people know nothing about this stuff. This is ignorance in the church. They know nothing about getting it till they're ready to speak. Do you know when you're ready to speak faith? Do you know when you're at the place you believe it and you're ready to say it? Most people don't. Most people have confessed it and say they're in faith when they're not. They have not, they're not in a position. You get yourself into a position to when you know that you're ready to say it. I will go get my Bible, get out, go over scriptures till I'm ready to say it. Till I'm ready to bring that thing to pass. Now I know that inside I'm believing exactly what the word says and I know it. Now I'm going to say those words out of my mouth. I'm going to say those things. See, up until that time, I'm really operating in an area of lack of knowledge. Many people believe that they were saying things of faith, but they weren't. They're operating in lack of knowledge. They don't know what they're doing. You got to know on the inside. Jesus said, if you believe in your heart and you don't doubt it, it'll come to pass. What you say will come to pass. So in other words, it isn't a matter, your mind can have doubt. He said, in your heart. On the inside, you got to know on the inside it belongs to you. It is yours now, not you're going to try to get it. It's already given to you. All the promises of God are yes and amen. If you're trying to get it, you will never have it from God. If you're trying to get it, you will never have it from God. You can't get it from God till you believe you've received it. That's my part. That's your part. Is to believe you've received it. These people, they had faith. We get in contact with God. We get in contact with the healing anointing. We're going to have it. So what we want to do is find out. We need to know as believers. We need to find out what's the obstacles in my life. What's keeping me from getting to something that I want? Like with healing. What is keeping me from getting to that? What is stopping me? I have to find that out. So it was number one, we need to understand what the word says. Now I want you to look at another one. This is another perfect example of this as an individual getting hooked up. In Mark the fifth chapter, I want to read to you about the woman with the flow of blood. Mark the fifth chapter in verse 25 says, now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. Immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around to the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? But his disciples said to him, you see the multitudes thronging you, and you say, who touched me? And he looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. This woman had suffered for 12 years. For 12 years, she's been in a condition. For 12 years. And she has spent all of her money, so now she's in poverty, going to doctors. Sounds like America. All right? She says she endured many things from these physicians. In other words, she's endured all kind of treatments. She has endured a lot of stuff. Endured doesn't sound like a nice thing, like she had some kind of nice treatment. It was really cute. Endured means she put up with stuff. It wasn't good. And she did all this, and she didn't get anything. She had gotten nothing. In other words, she's going the way of science. Well, it tells us she heard about Jesus. And I want to read to you just from Matthew 14 and verses 35 and 36, because this was common among Jesus' ministry. It says, and when the men of that place recognized him, he sent out into all that surrounding region, brought to him all who were sick, and begged him that they might only just touch the hem of his garment. And so as many as touched it were made perfectly well. So it was a well-known fact that if you just touch his garment. Now, how you doing? By faith. See, these people called people out. They said, look, all we got to do is touch his garment. We'll get healed. You know they got healed. You'll find out. Read the scriptures. When you read the personal things in the scripture about people who were personally healed by Jesus, not the multitude, but the personal, you'll always find out the people got healed exactly like they said they would. In other words, they got what they said. Too many people ain't saying anything. And they get exactly what they said. Nothing. They're trying to get a hold of something. But so she went there. She endured all those things. But we see here, this woman, she has an obstacle. She's this woman. She has this flow of blood, which probably she was in a weak condition. Loss of blood. You know, this is going on all the time. She has to push through a crowd to get to Jesus to touch his garment. And you'll always have loads of people that need healing and are standing around and they'll block the way. Usually the people ain't believing a thing or trying to block the way from somebody trying to get healed. She has to push through a crowd. She's dealing with an obstacle. She has an obstacle. She's going to push through a crowd to get to Jesus. Now, there's a multitude. Now, the disciples even say the people are thronging you, which means they're all crowded around him and pressed. This woman's going to have to push people out of the way. Oh, I'm just too polite. The violent take it by force. Passive Christians get nothing. Passive Christianity will get you nothing. I'm going to tell you what, you're going to have to push past the junk to get out there to get ahead. You got to push past it. She pushed past. She pushed through the crowd. She had an obstacle. And from her obstacle was a crowd. She didn't have lack of knowledge. She knew exactly how to get it and hadn't set under 45 teachings on healing to try to get it. Most people are overtaught. One of the worst things you can do is keep listening to teaching you don't practice. You will get further away than you will get close. You got to practice it. You know, when I heard about healing, when I was taught in healing as a baby Christian, I knew how to hook up with the power of God. I didn't have to become and grow up some giant spiritually to try to get there. It's easy. You either believe what the Bible says or not. You need to come down to this thing as your choice. Most people think faith is some hard thing to get. Faith is believing that something's true. You decide that, God don't. You either believe what the Word says are true or not. You believe that. I never struggled to get faith. God always, faith comes. You get the Word, faith comes. What we struggle with is this. Am I going to believe what it says and act like it's true or not? Most people's problem, because it runs cross-grain to our thinking. It runs cross-grain to our society. And I knew with Wanda, when I got started out, she wasn't born again right away, and I got started out, and I just thought, well, I'm doing things, and I'm thinking, running cross-grain, you know, she's going to think I'm an idiot. She's going to think I'm crazy. You have a choice. Here's most people. I don't want to cause trouble. So I'll just, you know, go to God along. You know, I don't want to, you know, I might scare her away from Jesus if I really walk. This is most people. Most people will turn around, and the reason people don't want to follow their Jesus, because when they're around people, they don't act like Jesus. They get around people, they act like they do because they want them to like, well, if, you know, if we say this around them or that, they're not going to like it. They're just, you know, they're not, and we don't want to hurt their feelings. So we make sure they never hear a gospel that'll put them under conviction. We do everything we can to keep them sinners so they can go to hell. Because we don't want to tell them. Oh my God, you're under the judgment of God. If you don't get saved, you're going to face the wrath of God. Hell's going to be thrown into the lake of fire. That's where the wrath of God is poured out on all iniquity. That's the wrath of God. It ain't the devil. It ain't going to be in the lake of fire tormenting anybody. He's going to be under torment. And all the people that followed him are going to be under torment. And that's going to face the wrath of God for eternity. We don't tell people these things because, you know, it just don't fit our culture today. Christianity is about, you know, just getting nice stuff. Living a better life. You know, things are good now, you know. It ain't about getting things, it's about getting saved. It's about coming out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of life. It's about coming out of the judgment of God, from under the judgment of God, to walking in the blessing of God. And so we need to tell people that. But just like here with this woman had an obstacle, and that obstacle stood in her way. The paralyzed man, he had an obstacle, he dealt with a roof, she dealt with a crowd. And doing that, people, you're going to always have, there's things that are obstacles. Whether my lack of knowledge is being an obstacle, is I really don't know how it works. Over the years, like sometimes in ministry to people, I've ministered many times to people and I've asked people questions. They'll come because you want to locate where people are at. A lot of times people want you to just lay hands on them. They don't want you to locate where they're at. And I've had people that I've known sometimes, and sometimes when I touch a person, I can tell what their problem is. I can tell what it is. And many times I've done it with people, I know they're not in faith. And when you question them about not being in faith in an area, they get offended immediately. They have lack of knowledge and they don't want any. They want to look good in front of other people. You know, if I'm not doing it right, I want to know. I want to know. Most people are not like that. Most people get offended if somebody, people think strange of me. I think it's strange that somebody says for 20 years they're believing something and it never takes place. I think that's strange. I think that's weird. That is weird Christianity. I didn't have to wait 20 years to get saved. Dear Lord. But people, we got this thing and we throw it out there. These are obstacles to faith, that lack of knowledge. You got to break through those barriers. You got to be able to throw that stuff down. Anything that'll hinder you from getting there. If I'm not faith right, I want to know. You know, God, I told you guys a story, you know, a few years back when I was, it's about 4 or 5 years back, when I was down at Randall Greer in March and I got a cough going and that stuff. And I never had anything going like that for that period of time. And I just thought, this is stupid. But you know, with me, I'm just there, I'm confessing, making a faith confession. Well, finally, I said, you know what? I ain't doing this right. I can't believe this thing's going on. See, I don't wait for, 10 years to find out and say, well, I'm still believing God. And I just stopped and said, look, this thing was supposed to quit and it didn't. And so I said, Lord, I finally talked to him. Now he knew. All during the day, I'm doing fine. But when I go to bed at night, I get coughing and I don't sleep at night. So I'm just slowly wearing out because I'm not sleeping and I can't sleep at night. And in the day, I'm walking around not coughing, but I go to bed and I just start coughing and this thing is going on. So I finally, that little pea that rolls around between your ears, I got one of those too. And finally it dawned on me, you need to talk to God about this one. And I didn't go into any kind of deep meditation or prayer. I was standing in my hotel room and I said, Lord, what is going on? What am I missing? And just as clear, the Lord spoke to me and said, you ain't doing what you know to do. He said, you've been focusing on your coughing instead of your healing. And I stopped and said, you're exactly right. That's all I've been doing. This coughing is, I just got focused on it and I'm just... this coughing, it's irritating me and it's bad, bad, bad. And that's all, that was on my mind. It's on my thoughts. I'm not thinking even about healing. I'm not on that thing. I'm over here making a confession, but my heart sure ain't in it. My heart was in the coughing, I think. I'm over here. And I said to the Lord, I said, you're exactly right. And I said, Lord, you know how long it took me to change that? About 10 seconds. I said, Lord, okay. I said, you're exactly right. I said, I know better than this. So I said to the Lord, I'm in faith now. And this is what he said to me to teach me something. He said, and I want you to understand, he's talking to me on my level where I'm at in faith. He's dealing with me on my level. Other people he may not say this to. I already had enough experience of walking in this area. I should have well known to do better than I was doing. You need to know this. You don't follow what you know, and eventually it gets you in a bunch of trouble. You can't just keep walking past it. And so I learned if something ain't working. So I just stopped and said what I told the Lord. He said, now this is exactly what he said to me. You don't deserve my best. I said, Lord, and I agreed with him. I said, you're right. I said, I knew better than this. So he's going to teach me a little lesson. Why? So the next time comes along, I get in faith, I remember this thing. Now, He said, I want you to go to a doctor. I said, Lord, I don't know no doctor here. I'm down here. He said, get down to the front desk. He said, they'll tell you where a clinic's at. I said, okay. I went downstairs and they told me where a clinic was. I don't know a doctor, so I went up to the clinic. He said, you just go up there and you just, I went up there. And when I went up the clinic and that stuff, and I mean, they're going to do so much for you anyhow over the thing, but they, anyhow, when I left there, then the Lord said to the bishop, you obeyed me. He said, I'm going to give you a quick recovery. And I had a real quick recovery. But see, I'm operating over, I'm not operating in the knowledge that I know to do. And this is why he's dealing with these areas. Sometimes in things, we're facing obstacles. My obstacle there in dealing with that, my obstacle was what? Not walking in the knowledge that I had. There's knowledge that I had that I'm not walking in. Sometimes you're going to run into that. You know better than what you're doing, and you ain't doing it. And you learn to stop. Don't just get out there and just keep making confession. Nothing changes. Don't do that. That'll lead you really to no good. In fact, you do that stuff long enough, after a while, you may have trouble ever getting in faith. You can, look, one of the false teaching, sometimes there's things can't be turned around. You can go too far where God can't get a hold of you to turn you around no more. This is why you got to stay humble over there. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God so he can exalt you in due time. You need to stop when things ain't working and quit acting like you're a rocket scientist and stop and say, God, what's wrong? You got to humble yourself. Lord, I want to know what the word's saying. I want to know where I'm standing in this thing. Am I standing right or I'm not standing? I want to know. I need to understand where I'm at. We're not just trying to push through and push through and push through something. When you come to faith, the work's over. If you're pushing and pushing, you ain't in faith yet. Faith rests. Faith rests. Faith rests. When I believe I receive it, it's time for me to rest. My job's done. Now it's God's job. If I'm not at rest because I ain't in faith and I'm still trying to make it happen. Look, I'm teaching from experience. I'm not throwing rocks. You don't have to go through what I went through on some things if you listen. But people just keep trying to push. Come to the place that you rest. It's just like with that coffin thing. When the Lord said that, I knew this. I have not been resting about this thing at all. I never believed I received it. I've been there. My coffin's still going on, and I'm still talking about my coffin. I'm still looking at my coffin. I'm still, that's my focus. And God had to awaken me by rebuke. If you've never gotten rebuked by God, he don't love you. Or either you don't listen to the rebuke. The Lord, Bible says this, God rebukes us because he loves us. If you've ever been rebuked by God, he don't love you. That would be scripturally accurate. I know God loves me. I think he loves me more than Mike because he rebuked me a lot more probably than Mike. He's had to. No. God rebukes the one he loves. And that's why, you know, we don't have to walk on some high horse. God is my healer. I just have faith in my healer. And that's how it's used. You need to operate your faith to your healer and let him be the healer. Most people are still, they're trying to be the healer. They're trying to get it done. They're trying to make it happen. Now, faith comes to the place that it rests. We'll talk more about this. I'm not going to go in anymore. There's more things we could go into. We're going to look in dealing with, you know, the anointing destroying the yoke. And really, the anointing does that. You know, I don't destroy the yoke. The anointing does. The yoke of sickness is destroyed through the anointing. What do? I just have a faith in the anointed one. And the anointing destroys the yoke, not me. Not if I just make enough confession or I just do this. We got to get past these things. If we understand the principles of how things work, and that's what we'll continue to do. We're going to continue to look at these things, how it works. What my side is, what God's side is, responding to the anointing. What do I do when I respond to the anointing of God? It's got to come down to where it's simple. It can't be made for rocket scientists. It isn't based upon education. God's taken the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. The Bible says not many wise were chosen. You need to understand this. If you would go, I'm going to tell you from a standpoint, Mike's a well-educated guy and well-educated in the field. But shall I tell you something? Most people that are as well-educated as Mike, they can't walk by faith for nothing because they're all mental. And it's very hard for them to do. And you got to watch yourself. This isn't some mental game. And, you know, I've become a genius. Our genius is this, is to arrive at the point that you'll humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. That you'll take whatever His Word says over anything you think. That's the wisdom of heaven. It isn't becoming this great Jesus. It's come to the place that you're so smart if God says that that's true, and no matter what I think about it. Hallelujah. And I'm going to submit to Him. He's Lord. He's my Lord, and I have to do what my Lord says. If I want His blessing, I got to walk in what He says. That isn't rocket science. I'm going to tell you what, that's simplicity. And that simplicity will work for you. And if you learn to walk and live in it, it'll bring things to pass quickly. We've had too much education in teaching. It's been too much educational rather than even the anointing to teach, to bring information to people so they can walk in the simplicity of faith. Faith is a simple thing. Faith is not some hard thing to do. It's a simple thing to do. It's not hard. It's a matter of choice of believing. You and I make choices all the time. We can listen to the news. I mean, just think about it. People listen to the news and the media says, Trump did this or that. Majority of people, they hear the news and instantly faith in what the news says that Trump did it. And even people who like him will go around and say he did things that he never did. Because immediately faith comes by hearing, then you hand that same Christian the Bible and they struggle to have faith in anything. Why? Because we choose who we put in superior place, that we choose their voice means something. You choose that, not God. I've chosen, when I first got born again, that book stands above anything else anybody else says. That is number one in priority. That's number one in voice and in truth. It is number one. There is nothing else, no one else, no human being can come close to that. No human being is perfect. No human being can come in line in perfection to what that word is. That's a choice you make. I don't believe this when people go around and say, do you believe the Bible is the Word of God? Oh, yeah, I do. Most people would say that. Most believers would say that don't even believe the Bible is the Word of God because there's too many things that they believe opposite of what the Bible says. Commonplace stuff. You got to come to the place that's the fact. This you have to. If it is, you're going to make a decision one way or the other. Your faith is going to be what you believe in your heart is going to be determined by the knowledge that you take is true. Whatever it is, if you mix a little bit of what the world says with the Bible, you're going to have this mixture, and it won't be in your heart believing and not doubting. No, you'll have some doubt in there. You'll have some things. You have to determine what is true, and you and I decide that. There's things I've struggled with over the years. The Bible says a certain thing, and I said, and man, it's like, whew, everything I know and understand, that has to be true, but how that's so, I don't know. But one thing is, I am not going to speak against it. I'm not going to say anything against it. And anybody that does, it comes along. I've had ministers come along sometime and speak into things, and I've learned to turn them off. Look, I don't need somebody getting me into unbelief because they don't understand something. It's like, the Bible's true whether I get it or not. It is truth. I need revelation on it, and we need a revelation. And until that comes, I'm saying the Bible's true. The Bible's true. No matter what anybody else says, the Bible's true. You've got to come to that point. I never have went to a doctor, and I believe that he's telling the whole truth, nothing but truth. He's only operating in the limited knowledge he has. And if the Bible speaks over what he says, I'm sorry, it's with the Bible. Appreciate what they can do, but I'm sorry. There's truth. And you must decide that. What's going to be the truth that you're going to follow? What are you going to follow? You decide that. This is no big hard game or hard thing to do. And we need to know that. That's what we're all in. That's why, you know, when God told Joshua, you know, you want to lead my people over in this land, you got to meditate on the Word day and night to do all that it says. So why? You can prosper when you get in that land. If you want to prosper over in that land, like God wants you to prosper, if you want to walk like Moses did, you're going to have to focus on what Moses said and what Moses did. What you're going to have to focus on that, and you're going to have to get into that believing. And when you get over there, I'll work for you like I worked for Moses. If you don't, I won't. See, and you need to understand this. If you don't get in and make the word the main thing, you will not have what people have who make the word the main thing. You will not have it. It can't happen for you. The more people put reliance on the word, the more they walk in line with it, the more success that they will have that God can bring through them. It's an easy system. It's just like anything. It's anything that we study or anything that we do. You know, you get an engineer out here who's an aerospace engineer and he's designing aircraft. He has to stay within boundaries of things and stuff, of the laws that govern at the, and he has to study and learn things and do stuff so they can design aircraft. And today they want to make them more efficient and they're doing all this stuff and they want to hire faster. All this, it takes work. These guys can't be slouches. They can't be laying around on weekends and just watching football all the time and go home and just got their 40-hour week and laid them propped up. And people go, why do they pay that guy $2 million a year? Because he's worth it. Well, they just don't fear. I work for the company and they only pay me $25,000. Yeah, you probably ain't even worth that. Because of your thinking. You're probably worth maybe $10 a year, you know, the space you take up. The more we put into something, the better we're going to get at it. And that's what we have to find. The more you put into it. When Mike and I come into the kingdom, that's what they told us. I thought you really had to put something in it. I didn't think you could be a casual Christian and go anyplace. Because I know this. I worked at H.B. Reyes Candy Company with mostly casual workers, and they were going nowhere and complaining all the time that they didn't get more. And I'm serious. Complaining they didn't get more. And then anybody worked hard and got promoted. Oh, yeah, they're kissing up to the boss. They're this, they're that, they're this, they're that. Have been around that? Some people do. But one thing is, God will bless. I want to say God blesses the labor of your hand. It's just like with getting into the word concerning healing, God will bless the labor of your hand that you put in to find out the truth. You get healing. The labor of your hand, the labor you put in to learn this thing, is you'll get blessed. If you don't put labor into it, you're not going to get blessed. I mean, that's God's principle. It's what you put into something. We do it all the time, what you put in. We just send our kids to school. We want them to learn. We want them to do something. We want them to do well. We go through all this stuff. Why? Then they have to apply themselves. And then when you become an adult, then it seems like we just open a zipper on the side of our head and throw our brain away and say, yeah, now I just want to sit back and wait for retirement. I'll tell you what, I just want a good job, so I can just... And people ain't doing nothing. Complaining about somebody ought to just give them money and the government ought to take care of this and this ought to... It's like, no, laboring with our hand consistently. As a Christian, you're going to find this. You're never going to arrive. You're always going to keep improving yourself. Kenneth Hagin was asked this question. He was asked with a number of major ministers, and they were sitting there and they asked him, Brother Hagin, do you ever arrive to the point where, you know, you don't have to really stand in faith like, you know, this stuff? And Brother Hagin said, if there's any place like that, I sure don't know about it. You just got to keep working. You got to keep developing. You got to keep growing. You got to keep... That's just the system. I have just accepted that fact that I'm always going to have to be a student of the Word. Always. That's it. I'm not talking about a reader of the Word. I'm talking about being a student. You're going to have to study over things. You're going to have to look. You're going to read the Bible in the morning. That's good. That ain't enough. You're going to have to study and you get revelation. You know, I can sit here and teach you truth from here, but that don't mean you really get the revelation into you till you take what I said and go listen to it. Over the years, I've had people that needed exactly what I was teaching, And they came to me and they wanted to talk about some things. And I said, well, did you buy a teacher? We got them online. They got teaching about such and such. With that. You go, well, no, I don't add any back there. And that. I said, well, then it ain't that important. Don't come and ask me. If you're not into it, don't come and ask me to give you a personal session. I'll charge you. And at least be $500. My revelation's worth something. What I struggled to get, I ain't gonna get. You get an opportunity free here. If you're too lazy to listen to it off a line, you're just too lazy, forget it. You think that sounds harsh? You ain't going anywhere till you want it. I can't do it for you. God won't. God don't bless the lazy. The sluggard don't eat. Read Proverbs. Don't have time, dear Lord. If you have time to be sick, you sure have time to study. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, let's stop there. Let's stand to our feet. These things sound hard, but I'm going to tell you, you're facing a world of people out there that are sluggards. Christianity is full of sluggards. They're filled with sluggards who want many things from God, but they ain't going to go after it. They're wanting somebody else to go after it and get it for me. I ain't like the government. I won't do that for you. I'm not going to tax Mike to give you money. I'm not going to do that. I'm not like that. I'm going to be like God. If you don't work, you don't eat. I'm not take for somebody else because somebody else wants to sit around. I believe in helping people that are doing something when people aren't doing anything. There's no point. You waste your time doing things for people that aren't doing anything. It never goes anywhere. That's why poverty in America has done nothing but grow. It can't work. It's impossible for it to work. Impossible. It can't work. You don't do nothing and I'm going to do something for you. Just think this. People want Jesus but will not accept Him according to Scriptures. He will not save them. He only saves them if they come to Him His way. That's it. No matter how much they want Him. Most people don't know God. Most Christians don't know God. They know little about Him. They don't know His character, what He's like. Is because so much has been twisted concerning the Word. There's been so much perversion put into the gospel that they don't know His character. They don't know a God that will look you straight in the eye and say, no. I know one like that. He'll look you in the eye and say, no. It's not to hurt you, but He won't go against His Word just because you need help. We're living in a world, how much help does this world need? Is it getting it just because it needs help? There must be somebody who voices in this earth to get God to say, somebody has to be in faith. Someone must talk to God in faith to get anything going here. We're told to pray for leaders. We pray for leaders. Why? Somebody they'll pray in faith to God because God can't do anything unless there's a person of faith that will respond to Him according to His Word to bring something to pass. He won't do it. Even though it needs to be done, He will not do it till ones begin to start to respond to Him according to Scripture. And will respond to Him accordingly in faith. Then He begins to move, no matter how much help we need. Nothing gets done. That's why we want to develop in the areas of faith, on our part, and how to hook up with the anointing of God. Hallelujah, because that's the power that brings it to pass. Glory to God. And so I must respond to God the way He shows me, and then He will surely do His part. Hallelujah. He will surely do His, guaranteed. To me, I love that system. I know that if I do my part, I know without a shadow of a doubt, He will do His part. I know it, because God can't lie. If you can prove to me any time that I'm standing right in line with the Word of God and He won't do it, I'm just going to tell you this. If you could prove that that's true, I'll throw away my Bible today. And I'll never look at it again. And I ain't kidding you. If you prove to me in any way that God won't keep His word, that book is a worthless thing to me. because I can have no confidence. My faith is based on the fact that he never lies. If he does lie, I have no basis of faith in him. I have no basis. If he won't do what he said he would do, I have no basis of anything in faith, because he could throw that in at any time on anything. So how do I trust? You can't. But I want to tell you today, folks, you can trust your God. What he says in that book, you are, and what he'll do, you need to get it on your lips and say nothing but what it says. You need to look at it. This is my God. I can trust in him. Hallelujah. When I stand on his word, he will move heaven and earth to see that that comes to pass for me, because I stand. He's just waiting for his people. Kenneth Hagin's wife was on the point of one time toward death. And he had been praying concerning his wife. Jesus appeared to him one night in a pulpit while he was preaching and told him what to do concerning his wife. And Jesus, he said it to him so compassionately. Jesus looked at him and said, I'm doing this just because you asked me to. I'm doing this. He said, oh, that if my people would just come to me and ask me, I would do things for them. Oh, that if they would just come. People don't come. Many people want something, but they want somebody else to pray for it. They want somebody else to do it. They want something else. Jesus said, oh, that if they would, I just want to do stuff for my people. Your Jesus today wants to do something for you. He wants to do something for you. He longs to do something for you. That's his ambition. That's his great love. His love is not a love letter sent. People say the Bible is a love letter. I'm sorry, it ain't a love letter. It brings action. It's not words on a page. He can tell me he loves me all I want. I'm going to have to see some love. Most Christians are just happy with talk. I ain't happy with talk. I want to see something. And my God is a see something God. Hallelujah. That love words come off the page and does what it says. Hallelujah. That's the love of God. The love of God is when I called on the name of the Lord, I was saved. That's the love of God. It's not the word. The words are nothing if they don't work. Amen. Hallelujah. The words work. Glory to God. Preach me happy. I'm convinced. I'm settled in the fact. He'll do what he says. Amen. Glory to God. He's a great God. Father, we thank you this morning. Hallelujah. Lord God, Lord, as little as we know about the word, as a little revelation that we got, Lord God, we're sold. We're sold out into this thing. Father God, there's so many voices and so many saying, but Lord God, I want to thank you that we have a voice in us. The voice of the Holy Spirit, hooked up with our own born again human spirit. And Lord God, Lord, that's the voice, Lord God, that rings out to us. Hallelujah. That's our security. That's our knowing inside of us. Lord, we know we've passed from death unto life. We know it. We're not trying to think about it. Lord, I'm not wondering if I'm saved. Hallelujah. We know. We know we're children of God. We know we belong to you. Jesus, you're our healer. Hallelujah. Lord, the word says you took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. You said you already did that. You already bore it. On the cross, you took all of the junk that we put up with. You took it on you and you put up with it so we don't have to. Hallelujah. And Lord, I want to tell you what, Lord Jesus, when you were raised from the dead, we were raised in your victory. We were raised in your victory over sickness and disease, over death, over sin. We were raised in that victory. Hallelujah. Lord God, it belongs to us. It's ours. Hallelujah. Father God, we're not trying to get you to give us anything. We're not trying to get you to get. Lord God, our whole pursuit is to look into your word and find out what you've already done. Hallelujah. What you've already given. Hallelujah. What you've already supplied to us. You've already blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Lord God, Lord, we're the most blessed people. Heaven ain't got no more blessings to give than you already poured out on us. Every blessing. Hallelujah. Lord God, you have not withheld one blessing that heaven has for us. And I want to thank you for it. Father, I don't even know what they all are yet. But Lord God, I want to thank you. I'm going to look into your word till I find them. Hallelujah. We're looking for them. And when I find them, I'm going to declare them, Lord, that they're mine. They belong to me. Hallelujah. They're the blessings that you prepared for me before the foundation of the world. Glory to God. And I thank you, Lord God. God. You're the God. You're the big giver. Hallelujah. And you're not going to give, you gave. Hallelujah. You're not going to give, you gave. Hallelujah. Oh, I thank you. Lord God, I thank you. We can declare today we have health in our bodies. We have soundness in the name of Jesus. Sickness, you can't stay in this body. You can't live here in this place. There's no place for you. Hallelujah. My master has not given you any place in my body. Hallelujah. He's given me health and soundness. He's given all his children. And Lord God, forgive us for our stupidity. Forgive us, Lord God. Lord God, most of the church world, Lord God, they're just accepting sickness as it comes along and just taking it. Lord God, I feel so bad for them. Lord God, taking what the devil says belongs to them. But Lord God, you've delivered us. And Lord God, I want to thank you. We receive it today and we just thank you. Thank you for healing us. Thank you for healing us. Hallelujah. Thank you for giving us healing. Lord God, we just believe we receive it. It's ours today. It belongs to us. Healing belongs to us. We're not trying to get you to give it to us today. Oh, Lord God, that would be a slap in the face to you. You already, Resurrection Day, hallelujah. All healing was given to the church. Hallelujah. I want to thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Your promise of healing is yes and amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Your promise to prosper us has already been given in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord God, it's your desire for us to prosper and to be in health. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord God. And Lord, we sure need more soul prosperity. We need to get a better renewing in our minds, Lord God. Hallelujah. And you will give it to us. Lord God, you will give us revelation, understanding, comprehension. Father God, you will, even Lord God, through the word of wisdom and knowledge, bring understanding and comprehension in us and what to walk and to do, Lord God, to live in victory in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And so we thank you today. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. It is so good to know, Lord God, that I'm not trying to go get healing, that it was given by my Savior. Hallelujah. I'm not chasing after something, Lord. Lord, forgive me the times I chased. Lord God, in my stupidity. But Lord God, I'm not chasing. Thank you, Lord God. We're at rest in the name of Jesus. Lord God, you love your children here. And not by words, but by actions. You will do for them what you said in your words you would do. You will do for them. Hallelujah. Lord God, you know that they hunger and thirst for righteousness. You said they would be filled. Hallelujah. You said it. You didn't say if we hungered and thirst and then we begged you to give us something, maybe you'd give it. No, you said if we hungered and thirst, hallelujah, we'd be filled. And Lord God, we're hungry, we're thirsty, hallelujah. And Lord God, God, you're going to bring revelations, going to flow like a river, hallelujah. Lord God, we have our cups out and we're going to drink, and we're going to drink and drink, hallelujah, and drink, Lord God. Lord God, not to our fill, but to our overflow, hallelujah, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, hallelujah. It's coming to us, wisdom and understanding. Lord God, when we see the word, Lord God, it lights up to us. Hallelujah. It lights up to us. Hallelujah. Lord, we're not questioning the word. Oh, Lord God, we're asking for revelation for the word. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord God, we don't want to question your word. Lord God, sometimes we have to question what we think. But Lord God, your word is true and we declare it today. Hallelujah. If your word is not true, then Jesus Christ is not true because he is the word. Hallelujah. And that's an impossibility. My Savior is true and right and correct. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's my Lord and he will never let me down. He'll never let me down. He'll never let me down. Hallelujah. And I thank you for it, Father God. Father, I pray for these individuals here. I pray that they have awakenings in the nighttime. I pray, Lord God, that they have encounters with you in the nighttime. Lord God, you will come and visit to them and talk to them. Lord God, I thank you that you'll give them dreams, understanding and things. Revelations will come to them even in the nighttime, Lord God. Hallelujah. I thank you, Father God, that revelation will flow in these last days like a river. Hallelujah. Father, heaven is getting closer. Heaven's getting closer. It's getting closer. Hallelujah. Lord, the time is here. It's now. And heaven is closer. And I thank you, Lord God, we're going to have greater encounters with heaven. Angelic visitation. Things of the Spirit moving mightily by angels. Hallelujah. Father God, we just thank you for it, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Father God, I want to thank you, Lord God, that the supernatural is going to become commonplace among us. Hallelujah. Commonplace among us. Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Lord God, your people walking in the Spirit. And Lord God, I believe totally, Lord God, your prophet Randall Greer said that in the last days, right before you come back, that the church will get so over in the Spirit that we would walk weeks on end, not even hardly knowing that we're in the natural realm anymore. Lord God, we're stepping over there to that close spot. We're stepping over. These are the days of visitation. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. And Lord God, we thank you. We thank you that we're flowing in that day and in that time. Hallelujah. Lord God, the glorious church is rising up. The glorious church. The glorious. The glorious church. Hallelujah. And that's what we are, the glorious church. Oh, Lord God, maybe we missed it yesterday, but I don't care, Lord God. We're the glorious church. And well, Lord God, where we missed it, it's going to be turned around. That's what the prophet said. It'll be turned around. What went wrong is going to be turned around. Hallelujah. It's going to be made right in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Lord God, as revelation comes to us, we're going to walk in it, live in it. Hallelujah. We're not just going to gain understanding of things. We're going to walk in that understanding. Hallelujah. And Lord God, your glory is going to move mightily in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 Let the weak say, I'm strong. Hallelujah. Let the weak say, I'm strong. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're strong. We ain't weak. We're strong. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We're a strong people. Hallelujah. Our bodies, the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is in your body right now here today, making, quickening, making alive your mortal body. Your mortal body, I don't care. Our bodies are death doomed, but I'm going to tell you, we got a Holy Ghost and it will preserve life and give you longevity of life in the name of Jesus. The quickening of the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus. It don't matter what went wrong. Something may have gone wrong in your body and the doctors don't know what to do to fix it or this. It don't matter. Hallelujah. It can be turned around. Hallelujah. This is the year of the turnaround. Glory to God. This is the year of the turnaround. This is harvest time. Reaping from seed sown. Hallelujah. Some of you have had seed. Things that you planted, you stood for. It hasn't come by for years. You need to start calling it forth this year. You need to talk to it. There's money, things you planted and given. You need to start calling it forth. You got to call. God ain't going to call it forth for you. Your mouth calls it forth. You start calling it forth in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, well, me, I don't care if you had a business mistake or something that didn't work out. I'll tell you what, change it this year. Hallelujah. Change it this year and bring it back in the name of Jesus. Get that thing corrected. Hallelujah. Get the blessing. It's yours this year. Hallelujah. This is the year of harvest. Not in one area, in every area. Hallelujah. Maybe you haven't developed spiritually. Maybe you've missed it. Well, I'll tell you, make this a year to expand spiritually like you never have before. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Go further. Maybe you've missed it. And dear Lord, you didn't grow right. Well, praise God, this is the year to grow up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Step into your fullness. Don't sit back and worry about the past. Glory to God. These words of God were for us. We're in the boat. Hallelujah. These are words for us. Walking in the glory, I tell you what, this is going to be a glorious year. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Randall Greer laid hands on us ministers, and he told us that our anointing was going to increase threefold. I'm going to tell you, three times the anointing, I'll tell you, I'll take it. I'll take three times the anointing. Dear Lord. Hallelujah. And I want to tell you what, it has increased. The anointing on me has increased. I'll tell you, we're heading a direction, but we can't accomplish the direction without the anointing. And if the anointing gets stronger on me, it's going to get stronger on you. It's going to get stronger on you. If I got a threefold, you'll get a threefold. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It ain't enough to have the preacher anointed. Hallelujah. The people need to be anointed because you need the anointing as much as I do. Glory to God. Because the anointing is what destroys the yokes. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And I'll tell you, this is a year of destruction of yokes. And this is the year for the glory and harvest. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. It's ours in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. It's ours. This is our year. I mean, talk at your year. Get it on your voice. It's just like you said, you have to sit down and listen to these things over again. Listen to them over again. Listen to get inside of you, Lord, that these things become the things you say. This is your voice, not something the preacher said. You take Randy Greer says these things, and I'll tell you what, God hooked me up to him. They're for me. They're for me to say, not for just him to say. He gave them through him, but they're mine. They're for me. And I say them. Hallelujah. And I'm going to talk them. Glory to God. And so when I speak them to you, now they're for you. Amen. Hallelujah. They're yours. And you make them your words. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I don't know about you. I preach me happy. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm ready for a blow up year. I'm ready for a blow up year. Glory to God. They're going to try to tie me down. I don't know. Hallelujah. Praise God. Father, thank you so much for your graciousness and your kindness. You're so good to us. And hallelujah. Lord God, I just thank you the victory that you've prepared for us for this time and this year. And Father God, we look out to the future. And Father, I look to this year and I'm looking through those words that you prophesied through the prophet. And Lord God, that's the vision of my year. That's the vision of my year. Hallelujah. That you gave. And that's the vision for their year. That's their vision, Lord God, that they will see and look out and see that. Hallelujah. And they take a hold of it. Lord God, I pray for them. They take a hold of that revelation. They take a hold of it. And Lord, it becomes their prophecy. It becomes their words. Hallelujah. It becomes theirs. They take it, Lord God, and I thank you. They're just going to march on to victory. Hallelujah. Lord God, hallelujah. Hallelujah. As Prophet Randy Greer says, I feel like I could run through the troop and through the wall too. Hallelujah. Lord God, we are going to run through the wall this year, Lord. We're going to run through. There has been barriers. Lord God, it seemed like we couldn't get across. But Lord God, this is the year that barriers will be broken. The barriers are broken. There's harvest coming in like has never come in before. Hallelujah. Oh, the crops are coming in and have been planted in years past that have seemed to be dormant, but they're not dormant anymore. Hallelujah. This year, an overflow. This year, an overflow. Hallelujah. Lord God, a greater anointing on the believers who walk with you. Lord God, oh Lord God, a greater anointing this year. Hallelujah. A greater anointing. Oh, the yokes will be broken. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. The anointing is greater than the yoke. The anointing is greater than you. Where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. Hallelujah. I thank you. Sin is going to back down this year. On people who follow God, sin is going to back down this year. Sin is going to back down this year. Hallelujah. Because of the anointing. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'll tell you, I get over in this flow in the spirit. I could stay there and you could just sort of go on and on and on with this thing. I'll tell you what, I get over in that flow. Hallelujah. Because I get over it, I start in it, I start seeing things. I start seeing stuff. I start seeing it. It's just like, I'm going to tell you what, there's things that now that I were at a distance years ago, I can touch them now. I can touch them. We're so upon things where they're here. They're not things we're trying to get to anymore. Hallelujah. They're things that are here. Glory to God, they're ours. God's prepared this time for you. Amen. He's prepared this for you. And we're going to talk about these areas of faith that's going to help you. Just hook in there. Hook in the anointing that's there. And just step into it. Hallelujah. And let the anointing do in you what God wants to bring a pass in you. Let Him do it. Hallelujah. Let the anointing. You can't make the anointing do it. All you do is respond by faith to it. But we allow the anointing to do its work. Hallelujah. The anointing of God's going to take you to where you want to go. It'll take you there. Hallelujah. No man can take you there. Amen. Man can't take you there. It can only be by the anointing. Hallelujah. Well, before we go, we're going to take our mission offering. We're going to do that for relief.